ॐ शुक्लां भरवरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं सुसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last nama that we saw, 816, Sarvato Mukha. One who has faces everywhere, which means all pervading. Basically, the faces everywhere means one who is all pervading. One is available everywhere. So there is no place where there is no Brahman. In the sense, Brahman is the cause, this universe is the effect. So the effect is there, or rather the cause is there in the effect. Like from the clay, the pots are made. And clay is everywhere. Sarvato Mukha, with reference to the pot. The problem is, because our attention is upon the form and the name, we miss the clay. So therefore, we need to turn our attention from the name and form to the clay, to the cause. That's the thing. So from the name and form, we need to shift to the cause, which is the source, which is Brahman. So when we keep doing that, slowly, slowly, we will see the self in and through any interaction with any forms, whatever forms with which we are interacting, we will be identifying with the consciousness. We will not get involved in the names and forms. So that's why he says Sarvato Mukha. So the question is, though he is everywhere, why is it that I am not seeing? I am not seeing because now my attention is upon the effect. My attention is upon the name and form. So what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to analyze. That's what the Bhagavad Gita does initially. What Bhagavad Gita does, it analyzes this form, this individual. Who is this individual? Then it analyzes the world. What is this world? And then, as it analyzes, it talks about the superficial layers and then goes into the subtle layers and then establishes the pure consciousness underneath the individual as well as the total, which is the all-pervading reality. So, as we begin to study, reflect, and begin to go deeper and deeper, attaining the self is easy. That is the next nama. So first, the whole thing is, we need to purify ourselves. So, when we purify ourselves, we see the all-pervading reality. When we are impure, meaning filled with vasanas and desires, we see the names and forms. We don't see the reality. Next nama. We'll go to the shloka first. Sulabha-subrata-siddha-shatrus-jit-chatru-tapanaha Nyagrodho-dhumbaro-svatto-chanurandra-nishodanaha Sulabha-subrata-siddha-shatru-jit-chatru-tapanaha Nyagrodho Dumbaro Kshatto Chanurangramishudanaha. One of the namas of the Lord, the next one, is Sulabha. Sulabha, Lord, attaining of the Lord, is very easy. One who is attained easily by offering trifles, like leaf flour and fruits, etc., with devotion. See, as you begin to understand the big picture, slowly you start bending down in humility. As your ego melts down in humility, the self starts revealing from within. So, for a person who has done the sadhana and who is to a great extent purified the desires, is very easily attained. And such a person...
Sorry, Guruji, what is purified desires?
Purifying desires in the sense, firstly, reducing the quantum of the desire, then improving the quality of the desire from the world to divinity. Right?
But it's a desire.
Yes, of course. But then finally, that desire also dissolves.
Okay.
That desire also finally dissolves. See, today, all of us have, desire for the world. And there is too many desires. First, we got to reduce the quantum of the desire. Then, the quality of the desire is changed to something higher. Instead of just physical objects, satisfies the physical body, it moves to emotional and intellectual level. It picks up a higher goal, ideal, a desire to work for the nation, or the desire to work for the fellow beings, or any species. You desire, then you desire to realize the self. And then divinity becomes your desire. This kind of qualitative change. Then you only are interested in things which will help you to reach the desire. Then such a person who's got tremendous devotion, who understands, you know, the ego bends down, then it's sulabha for him because his attitude is different. The devotion with which he will do anything, it doesn't matter what you offer, what matters is how you offer. The Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 also says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Bharatam Ashnami Priyata. What the offering is, it doesn't matter. But how you offer? Do you offer it with devotion? If you don't offer it with devotion, it's not going to work for you. It's not sulabha. It's difficult. See, for a person who thinks, I will do it, it is difficult. For a person who submits himself to the total, it's easy. It's easy if there is tremendous ego. Sorry, if it's easy, it's difficult if there is tremendous ego. It's easy, ego is reduced. So if a person has given into service and sacrifice, for such a person who is purified from within, attaining Godhead is sulabha. See, when you are suffering from cataract, you can't see, you don't have proper vision. You don't see things which are there right in front of you. When the cataract is removed, then so knowing thyself is the most easiest thing. But the problem is, we are filled with the desires for the world. And we haven't done any kind of reflection as to what this world is all about.
But Guruji, sorry, even if we are filled, I mean, even knowing yourself is easy, and even if we know that this is our desire, even if it's a bad desire, a good desire, but just knowing yourself and accepting it is okay. Because then only you, I guess, you can change. Otherwise, if you don't realize only that you...
Yes, of course. Whatever I am today, I may have 20,000 desires, I may have 100,000 desires, I may have just 20 desires. You must accept that. That's what they're saying, right?
Yes.
Now, of course, and then I must realize that the goal of life is to attain the true divinity within, the self within.
But sometimes in just accepting and seeing what you are desiring is scary. Because from childhood, suppose we've been taught that greed is not good, and suddenly you feel the desire for greed. I mean, I'm giving an example. So sometimes that conflicts, and it's a little scary for me to accept it.
You see, first of all, I firstly agree with what you're saying, then I'll explain. See, when a doctor diagnoses you, when you have some, you do not know what is wrong with you, something is bothering you, you go to the doctor. The doctor diagnoses and tells you that you have some serious issue. Now, it is scary. Isn't it? Oh my God, do I have it? I never knew this. I'm such a person. This is one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, at least now I found out what is wrong with me. It is better to find out and deal with a particular complication that is developed in my body and go through the difficulty and become healthy than not be aware of such a condition in the body, isn't it, Avantika?
Yes.
So, when we look into our mind, we become aware that, my God, I've been having this greed, I'm having lust, then what I need to understand is, at least I know what is the disease from which I'm suffering. So, once I understand that, then I need to go to the Shastra, the Guru, and see what is the prescription for my cleaning of the mind to become better in life. Isn't it? So yes, that time it is tough. I will go through that. But at least I know that these are my problems, rather than not being aware what exactly is my issue. So it depends on how you look at it, Avantika. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that's okay. You are right. That's why we say you've got to be a little impersonal. But that is why when you are with the Guru guides you. So that is exactly why it is essential to be pursuing this knowledge along with the Guru. Otherwise the problem is you get frightened, you get something or the other complications come, then you do not know how to handle. Sometimes you get involved. And when you discuss with the Guru, he helps you, or she helps you how to kind of deal with that particular situation. That's what you're supposed to. It is not that you have to become dependent on him or her, but with the help of the Guru, because it's like having a lawyer or a chartered accountant or a doctor who will help you in those particular areas, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, when he says sulabha, very easily attainable. Bhagwan is very easily attainable. The sense, he easily reflects in the heart, which is as transparent as a mirror or a glass. If the mirror is full of dust, even though he is standing in front of the mirror, his reflection won't come there. Similarly, the divinity is all around us, outside and inside. But we are not seeing because our mind, the mirror, is full of dust. So those dust will have to be removed. Then, very easily attained. Sulabha. So, all he's trying to say is, the difficulty is due to the obstacles, but there is solution for those obstacles, and for which you need to do vrata, you need to do effort. isn't it? It's not easy. But he says, Suvrata, tapas. And this is the tapas which you put in, the most important tapas, Suvrata, the excellent vow. He is of excellent vows. He has taken the vow to destroy the enemies. See, when you decided to exercise, independently when you exercise at your house alone, if you are a person who has not been exercising, and suddenly you decided, I want to exercise, and you try to do it at home, sometimes boring, you need motivation. Supposing you go to a gym or an aerobic center or something like a yoga center, where there is a lot of people doing, it becomes relatively easy. And if you have a personal trainer, it's relatively easy, even more easy. So, when you say Suvrata, of course, you need to put in the effort and remove the dust. That is Vrata. But whom are you identifying with? You are identifying with the Lord and Satsang, which makes it easy for you to do the tapas. And Lord himself is one who has taken the vows to destroy the evil people. In the fourth chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna very clearly says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tad atmanam sujamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkutam dharma samsthapanasaya sambhavami yoge yoge. To destroy evil minded people, I am born again and again to protect the sattvic people. That's the vow he has taken. So when you associate with the person who has taken such a vow, through your sadhana of karma, bhakti and jnana, then the vratam doesn't seem like a difficult vratam. In fact, this word, very interesting, you know. Vratasi means enjoys. Suvrata means one who enjoys the pure offerings. Also it means one who is a non-enjoyer, meaning mere witness. So, understanding what is good with reference to my goal, what kind of food is good for my goal, what kind of contacts is good for my goal, what I am supposed to contact, what I am supposed to avoid. It is called tapas. Tapas is what? Twofold practice of self-control. What is it? Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels and directing the conserved energy towards the higher. So when you have the higher purpose, for the sake of the higher purpose, you consciously give up something lower. Certain things which are lower, you consciously give it up. And even if the temptations are there, you understand that it is not good, even though you may like, it's not good for the goal that you have chosen. And that is higher. You put up with that inconvenience cheerfully. So that's called tapas, that's called vrata, vow. So you enjoy. And another meaning of this word is suvrata, is non-enjoyers, meaning one who is a witness, one who remains a sakshi. Bhagavan remains a sakshi to whatever is happening in the world. For all our enjoyments, he remains a sakshi. Then siddhaha, 819th nama, siddhaha, one whose objects are always attained. One whose objects are always attain, that is omnipotent and unobstructed by any other will. This is the time Bhagwan has no obstruction. Even Maya is not an obstruction. He is one who controls Maya. Maya cannot control the Lord. So, any action that the Lord undertakes will end up in success. Siddhi. It is impossible that the Lord will face any loss. The Lord is called perfect. Siddha also means be perfect. His perfection does not depend on others. So, Siddhaha. Adi Shankara says, the good ones attain perfect tapas, salvation by serving Him. When we serve the Lord, we attain perfection. And when we say we serve the Lord, what it means is, the Lord is manifested in this world. And when the Lord is manifested in this world, how do you serve the Lord? You have to serve the world. With what will you serve? With whatever talents you have to serve the Lord. With Arpana Bhav. When you have that Arpana Bhav function, there is no stress or strain when you act. And your action is not coming from the body, mind, intellect. It's coming through the body, mind, intellect from the divinity itself. And such an action will result in perfection. That's what he's saying, Siddhaha. And also, there is no such thing as perfection in the world outside. Perfection is in the divinity, the self, the pure consciousness. So that is Siddha. One whose objects are always attained. There is no failure for the Lord. Because the moment Lord enters, the Maya cannot fight the Lord. The entire universe is an outcome of Maya. So the Maya cannot do anything to the Lord. It will fail. That's all it is. And then Shatrujit, conqueror of all forces of evil. Any Shatru, he conquers. Shatrujit, the conqueror of force. What are the foes that he's talking about? The rajasic and tamasic tendencies. Rajasic and tamasic tendencies. Shatrujit. Shatrujit means rajasic and tamasic tendencies are the Shatru. They are within us. They are not outside. And because of these tendencies, we work against ourselves. What we want is peace. But these tendencies allure us to, or allure us by giving the promise at the beginning that it will give us peace, but it will take us completely away from peace. So therefore, we need to be clear as to who is our Shatru. In the Bhagavad Gita, very clearly, Lord Krishna says, desire is your Shatru. Kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samuttama. It's the kama krodha loba moha madha matsarya bhaya. These are your foes. These are your enemies. There's no one outside this is your enemy. So, shatru. He uses four words actually. Vairinam, kya vairinam, paripantinam, shatru. All these means foes. So, one who conquers the evil forces, one who conquers the desire, that is Bhagwan. When you submit to the Lord, He gives you the inner strength to fight with those impulses of the rajas and tamas. And he directs you slowly, slowly towards the self within. That's why it's important that we continue our sadhana, whether it is karma yoga or bhakti yoga, not just simply sit and read. They are also to be followed along with your reading and reflect. Then this one. Then Shatru Tapanasa. One who destroys the enemies of the devas. Means of the devas means good people. Isn't it? He causes pain to the enemies. They leave him. They go away. Shatru Tapanasa. The rajas and tamas are the shatru of the sattva. The devas within. Devas means good tendencies. Understand it like that. So Shatru Tapanasa, one who destroys the enemies of the devas. This is what Sri Krishna said, no? I protect sattvic. See, if you are a good person, then you will be protected. If you are a selfish person, you will be destroyed. Not that Lord is coming down to destroy. What it means is, no selfish person can be happy. No unselfish person will be unhappy. That's the law. So, you will be protected if you give in to sattva. Otherwise, you will go through agitations. So, one who destroys the enemies of the devas. The self-centeredness and the egoistic tendencies, egoistic attitude, those things he destroys. The nagrodaha, that which remains above all and grows downward. What he's trying to say is, the pure consciousness is that which is descended as this universe. And even though it is descended as this universe, it remains over and above this manifested world. Nothing in this manifested world can bind the pure consciousness. Now, for example, you started a business. I'm just giving an example. You started a business. And slowly, slowly what happens? You don't have time to spend with your children, to spend with books, to study, reflect, to attend any family functions. Who started the business? You started. But now, the business is completely overpowering. This doesn't happen when a person turns spiritual and evolves. Because the main thing that happens is, you will be out of it. You will not be bound by anything. That's the main point. You're bound means you're not turning spiritual. We are all bound by something or the other. Just before the class today, I came to know that it is Shweta's birthday. So, register. Now, slowly the body is becoming old. But with this knowledge, what happens is the age or the limitations that may come with the age, nothing will affect you. You will remain above. So you will remain above any kind of obstruction, any kind of limitation, your age, your health, your wealth, your name, fame, power, position, family, status, money, that thing will be able to bind you. You will always remain over and above it. But today, you see, our condition is everything binds you. So there is something binds you. I can't do this, I can't do that. The introduction to Bhagavad Gita, when you do the invocation, by Madhusudana Saraswati called Dhyana Shloka, there is a speak eloquently and a lame person scale mountains. You stop identifying with limitations. See, Swamiji is dead against meetings. Dead against meetings in the sense, it's not that he doesn't do meetings. But for everything and anything, meeting, meeting, meeting. Nowadays it's become a fad. You have meetings. Swamiji says, meeting means you are only wasting time. Most often. So, only when there is some essential things to be discussed, he will call for meetings. And mostly when in the meetings, many people, the discussion is going on, they'll come up with some, what do you call, problems. They say, because of this, it may not be possible. Because of that, it may not be possible. Then he'll say, we have not called for this meeting to discuss about what are the reasons because of which it is not possible. We have called this meeting to discuss how to make it possible. You know? So, in the sense, not allowing any conditions that prevails to bind us. This is a very important quality. I'm thinking other is binding. Why should it bind? Why can't you be free? Because you don't have that knowledge. You don't have that wisdom. Because we don't study. Even in our class. Or today, three of you are attending. But I don't know really whether you people study. You are sincerely attending, okay, fine. But apart from that, you have to sit and study, reflect, think, and then do other sadhanas along with it. If you really want to see the transformation, otherwise, like he says, you know, sulabha, why is he saying sulabha? Just today you are finding it difficult, obviously. So whenever you're finding it difficult, you should understand that you have not started putting in the effort. When you start doing that, slowly, slowly you'll find it easy. That's how a person who studies it every day, exam paper is easy. Other fellow is very fair. Question paper, the very mention of the word question paper, he gets stressed. It is not prepared. Other fellow who is prepared well, it doesn't matter what you are going to say. So, always remaining above and grows downward. Yagrodaha. Meaning, always remaining objective and growing your wealth, growing your organization, growing everything. This is the quality the Lord has. With that quality, the Lord is known as Yagrodaha. He, from him, this world is manifested. But he remains objective to it. Never gets involved. This is the quality that you will develop as you grow spiritual. The next is Udumbaraha. One who has the supreme power is above the sky, that is superior to all. One who is superior to everything, subtlest. Nothing can really affect. That is the point here. See, five elements are there. Space, air, fire, water and earth. Space is not sullied, contaminated by air, by fire, by water, by earth. Isn't it? Space is not divided by the walls of the room, or the foul smell in the room, or the heat present in the room. Space cannot be affected. If there is foul smell in the room, space is not affected. If there is heat in this room, space doesn't get affected. The element space we are talking about. So therefore, he's saying here that today we do not know that. Therefore we get affected. We don't remain superior to everybody. Somebody calls us by name, we get affected. Somebody when we get affected, we are supposed to be superior to everybody. You people who are around you constantly talking negative, that's enough to drag you down. You get slowly affected by it. You ask, what is this? Udumbaraha. So he says, one who as the supreme cause is above the sky. He is even above sky means he is even above space. Space is there in the waking state and dream state, and it is not there in deep sleep. In deep sleep, when you are in deep sleep, there is no concept of space. Isn't it? There is no concept of space. Concept of space comes only in the dream and deep sleep. Sorry, dream and waking. So in the deep sleep, there is no mind, there is no space. And when you go to that extent, you understand that even where there is no mind and space, the consciousness is there. That's why next day morning when you wake up, you report saying, I had a dreamless sleep. I experienced nothing. When you say, I experienced nothing, what does it mean? Huh? Can anybody? So what does it mean?
No thoughts.
No thoughts. Then
you feel like a witness, so you know that you didn't experience it, it's a dream. There's a separate between yourself and a witnessing. In sleep also.
See, we are talking about sleep. You come out of the sleep and say, I experienced nothing. Correct or not?
Yes.
So who is reporting? EI.
EI, huh.
So the consciousness is very much there in deep sleep. Okay.
But the consciousness is like a witness, no?
Exactly. But the consciousness is very much there.
Mm. Yes.
There are no thoughts. Okay, so consciousness is even beyond thoughts. beyond space, beyond thoughts. And you are that consciousness. You are beyond everything. You are superior to everything. But the problem is, you get affected by any small little things. And it's a condition to be. That's the problem. That is why he says, Udumbaraha. One who is superior to everything. One who is transcending the ether. It's a beautiful nama, Udumbaraha. He transcends, but he nourishes everything. He who is the nourisher of all living creatures. Is the cause, supplying each with its appropriate food. The supplies of all the manifested elements. So, he remains beyond, remaining beyond, he nourishes everything. Being a support, yet not dependent. Similarly, when you learn these things, you bring up your children, you nourish your children, you be the supporter, but you will not become dependent on them. Everything, you go on nourishing, helping, never become dependent on anything. Udumbara. The next one is very interesting, Mama. Ashwatha. Ashwatha is a tree. People tree. People tree, you know, no? You have seen people tree, right? The people tree is called Ashwatha. I don't know what is the name of it in Hindi. In Hindi also it's Ashwatha. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, chapter 15, Sri Krishna says, Ashwatham Brahurati. Brahmsi Yasya Parnam. Beautiful shloka. In chapter 15. So he says, Ashwatha, I am Ashwatha. So, the tree of life. The botanical name for it is Ficus religiosa. This tree is relatively immortal. It's like a banyan tree. The banyan tree in Calcutta, how old was it? More than 100 years, no? Huh?
Yes, Guruji. Yes, Guruji. It's, I think, more than 200 years, they say.
More than 200 years. Mm. Ashwatha is that kind of a tree which is seemingly immortal as compared to the human beings and other species. So therefore, you know, he says, I am Ashwatha. And if you see the tree, there are so many branches. There is one main root and there are subsidiary roots. So, very, very interesting. From the main root, the tree comes, and then the tree gives out subsidiary roots. The whole thing is Ashwatha. Meaning, Brahman is the main root from which all of us have come. And then, we create other roots. What are the other roots? Our vasanas. Our vasanas, they hold this samskara. Isn't it? because of this vasana. Oh, I have this, I have to do that, I have to do this. I have this painting thing, I have this clay thing, I have this Vedanta classes, I have this meeting to be attended in the children's school. All the vasanas we keep creating, they become the secondary roots. So, now, very interesting, this is unending cycle. It comes from it. Whole thing is aswap. That word aswaptam means that which will not remain the same tomorrow. Meaning this samsara. This entire samsaric world, that which does not remain the same tomorrow. Do we remain the same tomorrow? We don't. In fact, we are constantly changing. It is just that the change is not perceptible to us now. Tomorrow the change will be perceptible. Like if you see me now, I have clean shaven. The evening, if you see, little bit baggy, little bit. Tomorrow morning, again before I shave, the baggy. But this baggy is not suddenly coming tomorrow morning. It's growing. But you don't see it. The change is not visible, but everything is constantly changing. So, this whole thing is called Ashwatthama. From the unmanifest, supreme Brahman, this manifest world which is constantly changing has come about. And a person who understands this will go through all the changes without getting affected. If you don't understand this, then you will get affected by every change. That is what it is. The beautiful Dhamma, Ashwatthama, that which does not last even for the next day. It's constantly changing. But even through the changing world, the changeless reality remains. When you understand this, then you don't get involved. So this shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, it says, Urdhva Moolam Adashyaktam. Upar is the Moola, the cause. Ada means below is the branches. Urdhva Moolam Adashyaktam. Swapam Prahuravya. Sandamsi Asya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavita. So from that Moola, the entire world, which doesn't remain the same even for a second, comes about. And when we see this world, when we act in this world, when we function in this world, which is constantly changing, we should be aware of the unchanging reality. So, that is this Nama, Ashwatthama. Then, Chanu Randra Nishudanaha. A very big name, as it were. Chanu Randra Nishudanaha. The slayer of an asura by name Chanura. Who was he? He was a wrestler sent by Kamsa to kill Sri Krishna. He is supposed to be from Andhra. So, Chanu Randra Nishudanaha. One who destroyed the wrestler who came from Andhra sent by Kamsa to kill Lord Krishna. What it means is any obstacle that really binds you, it keeps you out of it. Nothing can limit you. That is what he is saying. When you take the name of the Lord and chant it with understanding, you purify your mind. You purify your mind. Nothing thereafter blinds you or affects you. You do not get affected by anything. Easily you will be able to handle anything and everything. So Chanura, such a big, great force, it can be easily dealt with. Sri Krishna finished him off. So when you bring in the awareness from within, even the toughest challenge can be handled easily. See, all of us have given into karmic cycle. Karma or the other we have done, we are also doing them. Knowingly or unknowingly. So when we begin to face the effect of the karma, if we have the grace of the Lord, which we attract to ourselves through the sadhana, spiritual sadhana, then even though the karma may definitely have its powerful effect on us, we will sail through it easily. Because we are sailing that difficulty sitting on the lap of the Lord. You may not know the difficulty. He is carrying you. You have this knowledge that he is carrying you. What's the big deal? So Chamura, Hamsa sent him to destroy Krishna. Krishna destroyed him. Krishna destroyed Hamsa himself. What's the big deal? So all these namas that you see that we have done from 17 to 25. 9 namas we have done today. Sulabha, Subrata, Siddha, Satrushit, Satrutapanaha, Nagrodaha, Udumbaraha, Ashwataha, Chanurata, Mishudaha. All that it is trying to say is, when you are with the Lord, you can easily destroy the obstacles. And attaining the Lord becomes easy. Take the help of the higher. See, we must realize that as body, mind, intellect complex, we are a small, small sector. So what we are supposed to do, we have to tie up with the big circle. We tie up with the big circle through karma bhaktiya. We should have that kind of a lifestyle where we are tied up with the divinity. Then even the difficulties become easy. And not only that, there is another kind of difficulty. That is the joys of life. You may wonder, what do I mean by that? The joys of life, many people find it difficult to be not affected by them. Isn't it? To get involved. The name of joy. You many times become a philosopher when you are facing difficulty. But then when it is joy, you don't know what you are doing. You go mad. This is the problem. So joy is another kind of obstacle, which is looking like nectar, but it is actually poison. We need to have the capacity to be independent of that also, not get involved. For that we need to all the time seek the support of the Lord. So that we use the body in the service of the Lord, that we use the mind in the service of the Lord, that we use the intellect in the service of the Lord. So study, reflect through the intellect, do bhakti practices through the mind, through karma practices through the body. And we do this constantly on a regular basis. No challenge is a big challenge. Easily you can sail through. It appears to be mountainous. It's not at all such a big challenge. Easily you can sail through. That is what it is, all this is saying. you are above it. You don't know that. You unnecessarily get involved. So we have done up to 825th Nama. Let us conclude now. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriva Udhyatmanava Prakrute Swabhava Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayam. Hari Om.